Chapter 1 of Raven Memory by David G. Schruck, Part 6. After purchasing carnations, Steve Reynolds drives onto the freeway, passing a crowd of cars on their morning commute into Roseland. As the lane ends, he swerves into an opening, tapping the brake, hood drooping. A quick glance confirms another opening in the middle lane. Switching from brake to accelerator, throwing the wheel, he maneuvers the sedan into the center lane, speeding past the lazy mass of cars. I know, Pumpkin. Eyes jump from road to mirror, searching for openings. The freeway is not a racetrack. Pushing the car to the edge reminds him that he is alive, reality surrounding him. Mundane tasks numb the mind, blurring the world behind a thick glass of repetitive tasks. Taking a risk is a me-minder, awakening the mind and acknowledging reality. Cassandra is another connection to life. Watching the excitement of discovery, he enjoys viewing the world through her eyes, through another perspective. Ever since meeting the young expression of reality, the world feels more alive. Spotting an opening in the left lane, he swerves, pushing the accelerator. A long, blaring honk recedes behind him. A dark station wagon shrinks into the rearview mirror. He pictures a frowning girl in his mind. Sorry, Pumpkin. Crossing the river, he enters the crowded city center, streets heaped with slow-moving traffic. The sky brightens, revealing heavy clouds, trapping the city in a gray gloom. The headlights shine into the garage as the car dives underground, tires squealing on the smooth surface. The gate lowers behind, closing off the city from his private parking beneath the office. Carnations in arm, he leaps up the staircase, taking two steps at a time. Pushing the door open reveals the lobby and the white desk holding his receptionist inside. Her back to him, she speaks into a headset curled over an ear. She is a middle-aged mother and an avid jogger, he recalls the woman telling him once. Spinning around in her office chair, she raises her finger, indicating she has something important to share. Head lowering, she speaks into the headset. Steve leans an elbow on the narrow shelf as high as his stomach. Ahead of him, block letters perched on the wall spell out his name. The foyer resides around the corner opposite the door to the garage. From this angle, the view out the front glass door is narrow, revealing the sidewalk and the back end of a silver car parked at the curb. Turning back to the desk, he watches the woman seated low behind the barrier. He is uncertain about the number of years covering Margot Johnson's employment, but it seems like she is a permanent part of the white structure. Yes, Margot says. I will inform him and resolve the situation. She lowers her finger and looks up, meeting his gaze. The eyes twitch. That was the school. It appears your daughter failed to attend her first period class. Excuse me, he says. He shakes his head. Cassandra enjoys school and never misses class. Piercing his gaze, he watches the orbs waver. Eyes may lie, but sometimes the truth remains hidden behind them. There must be some mistake. I dropped her off not long ago. I'm sorry, Mr. Reynolds. I inquired as such, and they assured me that she is not in class. The worried look on Pumpkin's face returns in his mind. Something awful has happened. The experienced eyes behind the desk find their strength and meet his gaze. Oh, and Detective Silver is waiting in your office. Hitting him, Steve recalls the owner of the car parked outside. He glances away from the desk to the far corner of the lobby at his open door. Try her mobile number. Try what number, Mr. Reynolds? Cassandra's number. He peers into the dazed gray eyes hovering behind the desk. My daughter? Oh, right. Margot flashes a smile. Excellent idea, Mr. Reynolds. I'll get right on that. Thank you, Margot. He returns the smile. Spinning around, he crosses the lobby, shoes tapping on the tiled floor. Steve wonders how much is on the woman's mind for her losing track of the world even for a brief moment. On a normal day, she is five steps ahead, bordering on metaphysical prediction, sending self-proclaimed psychics into fits of envious rage. There must be plenty planned for the day, likely more meetings than he cares for attending. Bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, he runs three businesses, relying on Margot's help keeping everything straight. Without her and the notepad in his shirt pocket, he believes he might even forget going home.